they would have ears to hear and have a heart to receive your word. Hallelujah. Ears to hear and a heart to receive. Because we know that your word would never ever return void. It would never return lacking in power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we thank you for that. Thank you, Father, for your anointing upon me to minister your word and to minister it for your glory. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that, and we give you glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. We actually jumped off from this on this message, I believe. Let me look at my notes, if I have here, yeah. Close to the 1st of June. And I've been ministering to you about Peter, because Peter was reflective of many people today. He was reflective of many people today. People that made mistakes, said things they shouldn't have said, done things they shouldn't have done, and they felt real bad about it. And the issue we have to deal with is when we make a mistake, the devil is certainly going to remind us of it and try to tell us how bad we were and how dumb or whatever word you want to use, because he's not a gentleman. He tried to make it as bad as he can. So even after you've confessed it to the Lord and repented of it, sometime it'll still try to get in your head and get you to wondering why, and how could I have, and on and on and on. And so we see, and I won't go back through that, but we see that Peter walked with the Lord. He was chosen by Jesus Christ himself. He was one of the 12, handpicked, if I can use that term, by the Lord Jesus Christ to be one of the 12 disciples, one of the 12 apostles. And not just any apostle, but an apostle of the Lamb. You know, and I mean, he was chosen by Jesus. But yet, even though he was chosen, he made some mistakes. He did, and the biggest one he made was when he denied the Lord, when he denied his Lord. But even though he denied his Lord, it wasn't over. Hallelujah. It wasn't over. And so if this applies to anybody listening to me or watching me right now, I tell you what, it's not over. If you turn to Jesus, if you give it to Jesus, amen. The word of God does say, cast all of your cares. Do I have your attention? The word of God said, cast all of your cares upon him because he cares for you. And he really does. So we find, though, in Luke chapter 22, I won't turn over there, verse 32, the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, verse 32, and you've heard me minister on it. Jesus told Peter that when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. And he also told Peter that he had prayed for him because Satan wanted to sift him like wheat. Amen? So he told him, he said, I have prayed for you. One of the things that you need to do when the devil reminds you of your past and how bad you were, you need to do two things that comes to mind right now. You need to remind him of his future. It ain't pretty. Need to remind him of his future. But then you need to buckle down and make him pay. Make him pay. Get more committed to God rather than hiding in a corner and whimpering and beating yourself up. You need to get more committed to God than you've ever been before. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So anyway, let me move on. And again, I told you last week, and I'll tell you again this week, I just have a simple subject for you. It's nuggets from Peter. Nuggets from Peter. Nuggets from Peter. Now, like I said earlier, Jesus told Peter to strengthen his brethren. And I wanted to do some additional study on that, so I did. And that word strengthen in the Greek is spelled S-T-E-R-I-Z-O or sterizo. Now you may be thinking, man, that's Greek to me. Well, it is. But I found this to be interesting. When Jesus told Peter to strengthen his brethren, what he was actually telling him was, you go and turn them. You go and resolutely return them, or not return, turn them in a different direction. In other words, he was giving Peter a heart for the lost, a heart for the hurting. Are you still here? So he was saying, you go and turn them. Hallelujah. You establish them. Get them established. Get them steadfastly set. And Peter obeyed the word of the Lord that was given to him. As a matter of fact, we find in 2 Peter, the first chapter, 12th verse, I'm going to read this from the King James Version. It says, wherefore I will not, and this is Peter talking, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Hallelujah. Did you grab that? Peter was saying, get established in the truth of God. Get established in the word. Become stable in the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Peter, I told you to turn there, the second chapter, And listen to what Peter said. Now you see, he got himself established. How many of you know if you're going to tell someone else not to fornicate, you don't need to be fornicating yourself? If you tell someone not to commit adultery, guess what? You shouldn't be committing adultery yourself. Hallelujah. So Peter, let me read verse 1. He says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And if indeed you have tested, the Lord is gracious. What he was telling them, say, listen, it's time to lay aside all this stuff, all the fleshy stuff. Lay it aside. Lay it aside. The Apostle Paul said, I buffet my own body, lest after I've preached to others, I myself become a castaway. And then he told them to receive the sincere milk. Are you listening to me? Receive the sincere milk of the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, we need that foundation. We need that foundation. Too many times we're asking for a T-bone steak when we can't swallow it. We can't chew it and we can't swallow it. We gag on it. But God wants us, especially as new believers. Now some of us in here should be well beyond milk. Are you still here? Some of us should be well beyond milk, but don't beat yourself up if you're still nursing the bottle. At least you're being nourished. At least you're being nourished. So he told them to receive the sincere milk of the word. In other words, word of God that you can easily swallow and digest. The foundation word. How many of you know, and I've seen this down through the years, and it's still happening today. There are many, many people that still believe they can please God and get to heaven by their works. By their works alone. And the Word of God clearly tells us that works is not going to get you saved. So the milk of the Word of God is, we must know that salvation by faith only comes through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. You know, I was talking to my wife and about some folks that work. They're hard workers. They're hard workers. They sacrifice and work for God. but they don't really know him. But on the other hand, those of us who know him sometimes don't want to do much for him, because to serve him cuts into our pleasure time. What did Jesus say? Well, he said a whole lot, so I'm going to tell you what he said. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, then you must take up your cross. You must take up your cross and follow me. Which means then this walk with Christ is going to require some sacrifice. Hallelujah. It's going to require some sacrifice. And we must make a decision. I am willing to do whatever it takes to please God. Not that I'm trying to work my way to heaven. I'm going to heaven because I'm born again. I'm going to heaven because I'm washed in the blood. But I want to serve him, and I want to help somebody else get there. By my lifestyle, I want to help someone else get there. Amen. So he told us, he was telling these folks, and this applies to us as well. He says, take the sincere milk of the word of God. Let me read it to you again. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Now hold your place there at 1 Peter and turn backwards to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Let me tell you something while you're turning there. That's the reason. Listen. One of the things that I learned as a young Christian, I was in service. I was stationed at that time in the country of Thailand, and I had met some Christians over there, missionaries, and they would minister to the military guys over there. They would cook for us, minister to us, and oh, what a blessing when you're that far away from home. But one thing I learned from these folks, and from others as well, but I learned from these folks was to be soul winners. Stay with me, please. Learn to be soul winners. Get as many people born again as you can. But not for bragging purposes. At the end of the year, you can look back and say, praise the Lord, I got 50 people born again, or I got 40 people born again. But you have to ask the question, where are they? So one of the things they taught us was, once you get them saved, follow up on it. If you are a mother, raise your hand. If you mother, so we have a lot of mothers in here. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, mamas, when your baby was born, or babies in some cases, when the doctor came in or the nurse, whoever, presented your child to you and says, congratulations, you have a little girl, or congratulations, you have a little boy. Did you say, thank God, I have a child? Well, I've done my job. Give me my clothes. I'm going home, y'all. Do with it what you will. I've done my job. I brought this child into the earth. No, you wouldn't do that. You rejoiced over your child. Wanted to show your child off to everybody. Took pictures and trying to show pictures to everybody you meet. Look, hey, look at my little girl. Look at my little boy. And some folks don't even want to look, but they'll look and smile because just to hoping you'll go. Why? Because you're excited. You just brought a child into this world. And then what do? You take care of that child. You feed that child. You do whatever is necessary for that child. But let me tell you, how many of you know spiritual things and natural things many times are parallel? So just like you take care a natural child, we need to follow up and take care of the babies. Amen. And let me tell you something. You know, the statistics are saying that church attendance is at an all-time low right now. And of course, many of them are blaming it on the pandemic. And I'll be first to tell you, some folks are using pandemic as an excuse. Okay? I mean, just be honest about it. Some of them use the pandemic as an excuse. But they're saying that attendance is the percentage, I don't remember what it was, but is down. But you know, that shouldn't be. That tells us that we as a church got to get to work. We got to share the gospel, lead them to Christ, pray for the sick, not just wait for the pastor to do it. Pray for the sick, help meet their needs. Get them in church, bring them if you have to, so that they can receive the milk of the Word of God. Why, Pastor? Well, Peter said it very plain, so that they can grow. So that they can grow. I am so glad, and I've told this story a number of times, but not too long after I got saved, I went into the service, went through my basic training, went through my technical training, was assigned to a base in North Carolina. And there was a guy there, a single guy. I was single at the time, and he was a single guy. He was a minister. And that guy took me under his wings, so to speak. And I'd go down to his room. He'd read the Bible to me. We would pray together. We would talk about the things of the Lord. And, man, I was eating it up because I didn't know this stuff, man. I was a young Christian, man. I didn't know. So, and then him being a minister, every now and then they would invite him to preach somewhere in the city. And guess what? He'd take me with him. He would take me with him. Because I was receiving the milk of the Word of God. I was growing spiritually. And eventually, he got out of the service. I miss that guy so much. I know I'll see him in heaven one day. I don't know where he is right now. Don't even know if he's still alive. Hopefully he is still preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But this man blessed my life. He blessed my life because he fed me the Word of God. I didn't have anybody else. And he fed me the simple things in the Word of God, things that I could understand. He didn't try to take me over to the complicated. He kept it simple. And he ministered to me. And it blessed my life. Sometimes folks think church is complicated. The Bible is complicated. No, it's not. Just break it down. Give them the milk first. There will be time for the meat. But give them the meat, the milk first. Because if you feed them meat now, they're going to choke. And then they'll say, I'm not going to church because I don't understand. I don't understand church. Are you still here? Amen. Glory to God. And I'm not going to read all of this. Better take my watch off. But listen to what else he said. In verse 9, he let them know, and this applies to us as well. He says, you are a special people. You see that? Verse 9, you are a special people. And the reason we were, well, let me read it. That'll be easier. Let me read it. 1 Peter, let me get back over there. Chapter 2, verse 9. He says, but you are a chosen generation. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
A royal priesthood. Amen. A holy nation. His own special people. Why am I special? That I may proclaim the praises of him who did what? Who have called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Glory to God. Now that's the milk of the word right there. We've got to know, first of all, that we were in darkness, and now we've been called out of darkness into his light, into his marvelous light. Amen. We may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but we don't have to fear any evil because we're not in darkness. We're in the light. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you still with me?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to grab a hold of this and take it and go help someone else with it. Will you do that? Look at verse 8. For you were once darkness. Now, by the way, this letter in Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus. It was written to the believers. It was written to the born again believers. And he's telling them, this is the Apostle Paul here. He's telling them, you were once darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We were once darkness. If we were once darkness, then we need to walk in the light, walk as children of light. Hallelujah. Let me read on. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Amen. I was once darkness, but now I am light in the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you are still in darkness? How many of you are in the light? Amen. If you're in the light, you're telling me I'm born again. You're telling me I'm born again. I like the way the Apostle Paul phrases this. He says, once you were darkness, we all used to be a mess. And we lived a life of darkness. But now we're in the light. I'm a child of the light. So I need to live like it. I need to act like it. I need to talk like it. Thank you, Jesus. All right, turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. First chapter. Are you ready for this? Verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Look at verse 13. He has delivered us from the what? Let's read that again. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Please get that on the inside of you. Now, my wife shared something with you earlier that we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand because the devil has drawn a line and dared us to cross it. But we need to cross it in the name of Jesus, taking a stand because why? Why? Because we know that we have been, not gonna be, we have been delivered from the power of darkness. Amen. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. And we have redemption through His blood, and our sins have been forgiven. Let me tell you something. If anybody questions you, just let them know it was the blood, or it is the blood. Years and years ago, lots of years ago, I was watching TV, and it was this minister sharing some things. I don't remember his name, but what he said stuck with me. He says, when I get to the pearly gate, and if anyone asks me, what are you doing here? Do you qualify to be here? He said, all I'm going to say is the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus purchased my ticket. He delivered me from the power of darkness. Now let me provoke you to think for a moment. Because sometimes we get too religious. I didn't say spiritual, I said religious. And we have been, because the Word of God tells us so. But if we've been delivered from the power of darkness, then why do we think we can't be free of certain things? Why do we think, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that, blah, 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 I can't. I don't care where you are physically right now, you need to take a stand. Just take a stand. Hallelujah. This is one thing, listen to me. This is one thing I never want to be guilty of. Do I have your attention? I have eternal life. One day I am going to live eternally with my Lord. So are you. Listen to me a minute. You have to understand your enemy. He's slick. If he cannot pull you back, if he cannot stop you, and he can't unless you let him.
That's right.
What he'll try to do is push you. What are you getting at? Listen to me. We're born again. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. And the devil can't talk us out of that because we know it. So he'll try another tactic. He'll try to push you out of here. He said, well, you saved. Can't get you to backslide, can't get you to turn your back on me, so what I'm going to try to do is just push you on out of here because you're hindering my program. One thing I don't want to do, hear me real good. I'm going to heaven, but I don't want to get there before my time. I don't want the Lord to have to ask me, son, welcome home, but why are you here so soon? Why are you here so soon? Remember, well, I don't know if you remember or not, but in Thessalonians, it talks about the end times and the catching away of the church. I won't go there for the sake of time. But it talks about the catching away of the church and talks about the fact that the Antichrist, the man of sin, cannot be revealed until that hinders is taken out of the way. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about because you read it. It says the man of sin cannot appear until that which hinders is taken out of the way. Now, I've heard some folks say, well, that hinders is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit working through the church. So he can't be revealed because the church is in the way. So guess who's going to be real happy 1 second after the rapture? The devil. Because there will be no hindrance to what he want to do. The man of sin will appear. The folks that's left, look at the person beside you. I say, I hope it's not you. And your response should be, not me. But those folks that's left that have missed the rapture, the catching away of the church, many of them gonna fall right in line. And by the way, folks, the stage is being set. All you have to do is just watch just a little bit of the news. They talk about things now, they never talked about, less even recent as 10 years ago. And there are things going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. But it can't really come full circle until the church is gone. Which brings me back to what I said earlier. The devil's trying to push you out of here is because you're hindering his program, and he wants you gone. If he can't cause you to backslide, if he can't make you turn your back on God, then he prefer you be out of here because you're standing in his way. You're preaching the gospel, you're praying for the sick, you're doing the work of the ministry, and that hinders his program. He wants you sick, he wants you poor, he wants you unsaved, and all of that. So in closing, as always, I don't ever get as far as I intend to. But in closing, let me say this to you. You're in the right place at the right time today. You need to hear this, all of us, including me. Make a decision that you are not going to allow the enemy to push you out of here before your time, before you finish your course. You do what you have to do. You take care of your body. You hear me? You take care of your body. Walk in the wisdom of God. Live in the wisdom of God. And whenever things happen, you stand against it in the name of Jesus. You hear me? Having done all to stand, stand! Having the full armor of God, it's time to stand. No, I don't think it's going to be long before Jesus returns for his church. But in the meantime, listen to me. In the meantime, we as a church body and we as believers individually need to take a stand. And I didn't get as far as I want to get today, but we'll cover it, because this same Peter that Jesus talked to and told him to strengthen his brothers and his sisters also taught, and we'll get there, but I will say this much. He also taught in the same chapter 2, he says, by his stripes we were healed. Now, that'll strengthen you there. By his stripes, we were healed. Take a stand every day. Thank God for your health every day. Yes, we know we're living in a human body, and we know one day we're going to check out of here. But and that's all right. We're supposed to check out of here. We know that, but let's not go early. Let's not go out of here early. God, if God, listen to me. If God ain't done with you, don't you, why you want to leave and not finish the job? Amen. Don't leave here without finishing the job. Well, preacher, you just talking nonsense now. We ain't nothing we can do about that. Everybody, hey, listen, there's something you can do about it. And it begins with feeding on the word of God. If you sick, start feeding on healing scriptures. And there are plenty of them in the Bible. Feed on healing scriptures. Get you some, well, y'all, I'm kind of dating myself now. I started to say cassette tapes, but that's out. But they still have CDs. But get you some CDs or MP3, whatever, and if you have to go to bed with them, go to bed with them playing. Let them play. Just let somebody, and there are folks out there. We got some here. We have several CDs here. It's all healing scriptures. Am I right? Or it's certainly a great portion of it is healing. I mean, just put it by your bed and let it play. Go to sleep hearing the word of God. Wake up hearing the word of God, because you're getting the word of God on the inside of you. Y'all hear me? Because a bully will beat you up as long as you allow him to do it. Anybody ever experienced a bully? You don't have to raise your hand, but probably most of you at some point in time. That person will beat you up as long as you allow it. But when you take a stand, and you have to understand, we are in this world, John chapter 17, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. So let's take a stand in the name of Jesus. And when God is finished with us, then it's time to go. But I love what it says in Psalm 91. Didn't I say I was going to quit a while ago? But I love what it says in Psalm 91. With long life will he... Oh, yeah. With long life will he satisfy thee. And show... Yes, show me his salvation. God loved gray-headed people and he loved bald-headed people. Oh, y'all should be shouting now. May not can run as fast as you used to. Maybe not jump as high as you used to, young man. But you know what older folks have that the younger ones don't? It's called WISDOM. Godly wisdom. Because when you've been in the Word, especially when you've been in the Word year after year after year after year, you learn some things. You experience some things. And I remember as a young man, I used to love to sit and listen to the older folk talk. I learned from them. And I'm this kind of fella. I'm closing. I really am. I'm this kind of fella. I'd rather learn from somebody else's mistake than make those same mistakes myself.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
If you blew it, tell me why you blew it so I don't do what you did.
Amen.
Teach me something.
Amen.
You may have a PhD and I don't. But I have a PhD in life, 73 years of it. And I've learned some things. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all know, I don't know if you realize this or not. Y'all pull it out of me.